holiday greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. We are on the verge of not necessarily a holiday weekend, but a holiday start to the week as Tuesday brings the Independence Day holiday here in the U.S., July 4th. All U.S. markets will be closed from middle of the afternoon Monday all the way until late in the day, early evening Tuesday, in observance of that holiday. Well, that doesn't make it a three-day weekend, but it does make it a holiday, and you know what that means. It's time to check in with the golden jackass himself, Jim Willey. Jim, as most of you know, is the editor of the widely acclaimed Hat Trick Letter that can be found at goldenjackass.com. He has been a friend of TFMR ever since we got started, which is now like years and years ago. And we try to do this several times a year. We're going to do it here today. Jim, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back on. Pardon my voice. I'm just about done getting over this nasty flu bronchitis, which I gotta say is the worst I've ever had in my life. But I'm feeling much, much better. Got a lot of energy, able to do work, concentrate. So here we go. I tell you, this is a very exciting time when considering both the death of the petrodollar de facto standard for the dollar and its next generation replacement that is coming. We're going to address that.
Well, and that's what, for everybody listening, that's what we're going to focus on today. My time is a little short in recording, as is Jim's, and so we thought we would just pick one topic, hit it hard for a bit of time, and then let everybody else listen and then chew on it over this holiday weekend. And that topic is the petrodollar, the death of the demise of the petrodollar system, which has been in place since Kissinger dreamed it up in 73. We've talked about this a lot, and we all know it's coming. But there are some very interesting signs that this demise destruction is progressing, and progressing rather quickly. And the one thing that really caught my eye lately, and I wanted to set this on a tee and let Jim run with it from here, is this whole situation in Qatar. Or Qatar, or however they want to pronounce it. It always seems like it's pronounced differently between different commentators in the West. But either way, it came out of the blue about 2 or 3 weeks ago that Saudi and the Emirates and Egypt were all breaking ties with Qatar, and that Qatar was actually aligned now with Iran, with whom they share this massive natural gas field in the Persian Gulf. In fact, Qatar is the largest natural gas producer in the world. All of these dots were hard to connect because, well, why did this come at us from out of the blue? How does this? And you knew there was something under the surface, and now some of these details are starting to come out, and I think people are beginning to see what this is all about. So with that as a backdrop, let's start a little petrodollar discussion here over the holiday, Jim, and I'll just let you pick it up and run with it from there.
All right, just a quick little background, not extensive at all. But Saudi Arabia and Qatar, I call it Qatar. I don't care if it's correct, I call it Qatar.
Works for me.
The conflict between Saudi and Qatar has been going on for about 2 or 3 years. It is not new, and its basis, I believe, its origin, was the battling over the Muslim Brotherhood with respect to Egypt. And I don't want to get into a lot of details because you can get all caught up and you need an hour and a half to clear it all. But there are several different Muslim groups and several different ISIS groups. I don't care about all the names. ISIS is ISIS. You can call it Daesh. To me, it's ISIS. They're all mercenary hired killers and guerrillas engaging in terror, private enterprise, thefts, murder, capture of towns, executions, rapes. And it's our ISIS guys are better than your ISIS guys. And this has been going on for 3 or 4 years, ever since Obama started sponsoring the Muslim Brotherhood. I have a saying. Everything the U.S. touches since 9/11 in foreign policy turns to shit. Now what we see is the petrodollar dying a horrible death. When you consider that the petrodollar has as its home foundation oil. And that oil comes from the Persian Gulf primarily, which set the de facto dollar standard. When you consider that the region is fracturing and at war, it's like a typical expected climax for the end of the petrodollar standard. So you've got the derivative machinery dismantled for over 4 years now. I remember back in 2011 and 12, we were talking about, well, this looks like the petrodollar is losing some of its foundation. Then we had the the phony UBS and Credit Suisse stories. You know, what they did was they said, you guys are committing crimes with, you know, tax dodging accounts, and the United States is going to take over your two biggest banks. And it was all a ploy to steal Arab gold in their bullion banks. We're talking billions. You've got fractured Gulf nations now that are against Qatar. It's so messed up, Craig, that even the Saudi and UAE partnership is at war in Yemen. They had a hot war to control the Aden airport in Yemen. UAE has mercenaries led by Australian soldiers, and the Saudis have a strong air force, and the Saudis wanted the airport for its own bombing runs, and the UAE said, get the hell out of here. We just fought it and won it fair and square, so they went to war. You got every single Arab nation battling with each other in the Gulf region. It's a total fracture. Never lose sight of the fact that ISIS is supplied, is led by with logistics, has soldiers supplied by, and has funds supplied by the United States and Israel. It is their little secret weapon to wage war with plausible deniability, because there are so many effing morons in the United States and Canada who don't realize that ISIS is Langley. They don't understand it because it's not spoken that way on the news. And most of the beheadings, almost all of them, are fabricated. Gosh, their emails trace back to the John McCain Senate emails on fabricating the beheading incidents. So, Qatar is the focus. For quite a while, they were in favor of the Saudi-Qatar pipeline to go through Syria and supply Western Europe. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, much like other nations that flipped, they've become a problem for the United States because Qatar flipped and decided, we're such big natural gas buddies and partners with Iran. Okay, they got two different names. I think it's Pons, Pars Pons, something like that.
The fields?
The Iranian, yeah. Huh?
Those natural gas fields?
Yeah. And Qatar has its own name. But it's like all the gas under the Persian Gulf is owned like 50-50, Qatar and Iran.
Yep.
And, you know, they got a lot of oil. And where there's oil, there's gas, because that's kind of like the byproduct of the whole strange process that I don't completely understand. Okay, Qatar flipped. They said, nah, I think we're going to ditch Saudi and join up with Iran and go with their pipeline because they've got Russia behind them. And Qatar already has Russian links with their LNG, and they have German links with their LNG. Qatar is a leading nation in LNG technology, not necessarily from homegrown patents, but from cooperative ventures with Germany and Russia. Watch Germany eventually join this Iran, Qatar, Russia gas cartel. Because with the petrodollar de facto standard crumbling and dismantled and fracturing, You've got a void. Look at it this way. You got all these paper Forex currencies. For 45 years, 46 years, you've had the dollar backed by the OPEC oil. OPEC was kind of a U.S. partner. You know, keep that price in line. The Rockefeller, Standard Oil, Exxon Mobil, they liked that nice price. Everybody was happy. And the Saudis were told, you got to buy a lot of U.S. weapons and we'll help you develop some wars because that's what we do. So the Saudis have lost their partner, Qatar. And it's actually kind of a interesting battle because I've come to learn some other details. This is not, you know, my extensive research. It's just I read an article and it pointed out that the Saudis, they'd like to see killed or deposed the Sheikah of Qatar. Her name is Sheikah Musa, and she's quite a prominent figure. She had a lawsuit against an Egyptian publication for defamation that she won. I mean, this battle between Saudi and Qatar is started with Egypt. Now this Sheikah Musa is involved in they have a name for it, like Qatari City, or I can't remember, Qatari culture. But it has to do with education, the symphony, and media. So, you know, think of it as 20 years Saudi was the cultural leader in the Persian Gulf with whatever. You know, they've got the Mecca, they've got Medina, they got the Raj.
Right.
And they got all this pilgrimage of millions. But Qatar is breaking out as a cultural leader. And now there's a big spat over, the World Cup? I can't keep it all straight. There's a big sporting event coming, and Qatar is at the center of it. They're developing all the sports venues.
Right.
But Saudi and Qatar are at odds over everything. Over the Muslim groups and ISIS groups, over the cultural issue, over the pipeline that Qatar said, we don't want you Saudis as partner anymore. And this is the center of the dollar platforms for 40 years. And by the way, the previous record was something like 41 years for a non-gold dollar, a non-gold currency. And ever since 2012, we've been setting a record. A new record every year. But, you know, it's falling apart. And 2014, we had the Ukraine war to defend the dollar and prevent the Russians from supplying Europe.
Exactly.
It's not going to be so much the Russians who supply Europe. It's going to be the Russians who supply Germany. And it's going to be the Iranians who supply Europe, much to the dismay of the idiotic fascist neocons who, since 2001, every foreign policy initiative has turned to shit. Not one foreign policy success. All right, so that's my background. I touched on a lot of different things. Qatar is now firmly in the Iran-Russian natural gas cartel.
So, and Jim, if I could jump in again, this is, I think most folks listening are aware of this, these two different streams, if you call it, of natural gas that could flow into Western or Southern Europe. The one, that's what Ukraine was all about, stopping the Russians from supplying natural gas into Western Europe. But that's also what Syria is about, in that the Sauds want to build a pipeline that goes through Syria. And that's why they are so opposed to Assad, because instead the Iranians, with the Qatarians or what Qatarists or whatever you want to call
Qatari.
It, this new pipeline would instead go around there and go through Turkey, which Turkey has aligned themselves with Iran and Qatar on this as well,
and Russia.
So all these
after our failed coup attempt by NATO in Turkey.
So you can see where these things fit
together.
Another
initiative that turned to shit.
So you can see where all these things fit together. And again, this is a threat not only to the economic stability or the and the petrodollar system, but the geopolitical stability. And the U.S. has naval and air base in Qatar. All of these things set up a rather interesting flashpoint as we move through the rest of the year. I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the military angle. The U.S. has a CENTCOM in, what's the capital of Qatar? Is it Doha?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Doha, okay. Anyway, yeah, I actually have on my wall, Doha's the capital of Qatar, Muscat is the capital of Oman, and UAE has both Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So that's how I keep some things straight. I got lots of little papelitos on my wall. Papelito means a little chit of paper. Okay, so where was I? I'm sorry.
Let's go back to this new natural gas cartel of Russia, Iran, Qatar, and the pipeline that they'd like to build instead.
Okay. It is going to be a multiple currency cartel. At first, the main characteristic is none of them is a dollar.
How about that?
There's going to be Iranian sales to China, and there have been already a lot of them, and they're going to be in RMB. Okay, when Russia is part of this cartel in the pipeline connections, their sales are going to be in ruble. There's also going to be some sales in gold, and I think it's going to lead to the gold trade note. Here's the kicker. If this Nord Stream 2, we haven't mentioned Germany yet, but the United States did another stupid thing in the last week. They actually said any German company involved in the construction of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline with Russia will be subject to fines. By whom? The super uber lords, the neocons in Washington. What idiots!
Well, Jim, I'm going to interrupt you again. Again, and just to get people to think of this in terms that you can understand. Who acts reactionary? What type of person acts stupidly, as you call it, that seems to be doing things, again, in reactionary measure, without really giving much thought, flailing around? A desperate person.
Desperate.
Exactly, a desperate person.
Word
does
I was going to say, we're desperate. We're on the same page.
Yep.
Okay. So, this gas cartel fills the void of the Arab-led OPEC cartel that was dollar-based. Even Nigeria sold oil in dollars. Venezuela in dollars. Those are the, other non-Arab majors within OPEC. My joke about OPEC, I love telling it, it's very quick. Whenever OPEC has a meeting, they cannot agree on the lunch menu or the color of the nameplates. They are one of the most disorganized and, I think, embarrassing cultures in the history of mankind. The only culture I know that burns libraries. Okay, so the gas cartel fills the void. If Germany links up, as they I'm sure will, they're threatening to sanction the United States now. We got a trade war in its early phase between the United States and Germany. This brings to a culmination my 2014 forecast that Germany would flip east into the Russian camp, into the Russian-Chinese-Eurasian trade zone. That camp. That's not a camp. That's an enormous trade zone. Okay, if Germany enters that, you're going to have euro payments in the natural gas cartel. I mean, I don't like the word cartel. I use it only in the context of replacing OPEC. It's going to be an energy union. It's going to be an energy consortium that if they get nasty and try to control the natural gas price, by limiting supply or whatever means, then you can call it a cartel. But until then, it's really more like a consortium. Dollar is not involved. Euro, ruble, and RMB Chinese. Okay. My guess, my analytic conjecture, my forecast is that this cartel will promote tremendous usage of the RMB internationally and eventually lead to the gold trade note to be used in trade payment, which will then become more standard, like in, say, grain shipments.
And Jim, how much RMB trade did Qatar already execute just in the last 12 months?
Actually, it was the last 2 years, $86 billion.
There you go.
And plans for an acceleration next year. I wrote in the notes that it was last year. I checked the Zero Hedge article, and it was last 2 years.
And again, so already, and again, why is Qatar such a flashpoint? Well, there you go. They're moving away from the petrodollar axis. Anyway, please continue.
Every country that's moved away from the energy sales in dollar has been attacked with a false story by the United States.
Yep.
Now, here is a zinger coming. The Saudis and the Chinese are now officially talking about oil sales in RMB. It's not rumor. It's not future. It's now. Okay, now let me put in a little wrinkle for this because it's huge. Aramco is attempting to do an initial public offering. I think the figures are they want to sell 10% of their company for $200 billion, which would mean that their company is worth $2 trillion. The only trouble with this plan, you Saudi corrupt, filthy morons, is that the Western energy analysts have done their comparative research and have concluded that it's only worth maybe five times less. So it's only worth maybe 400 to 500 billion, and a 10% IPO would be 40 to 50 billion, not 200. Okay, so what are the Saudis trying to do? Okay, this is another point to emphasize the death of the petrodollar foundation in the Arab Center. My guess, my belief, my analysis, my research, my confirmation with colleagues is that the Saudi Arabian oil reserves are maybe 80% less than what they say.
Hmm.
They're depleted. It's motive for the Yemen war to steal their neighbors' oil and gas because Yemen doesn't have a big military and the Saudis have the United States behind them, complete with, you know, bombings of hospitals and schools. That's what we do. We're the biggest war crime military nation in modern history, and it's not in the news. Okay, so watch for a wrinkle where the Saudis might cut a deal with the Chinese, where the Chinese overpay for a share of Aramco in return for RMB oil sales. In other words, they might invest in Aramco and pay a fair amount, but then pay extra to put a dagger in the heart of the petrodollar in the Saudi backyard. This is very, very big.
And Jim, isn't there still pending? I don't think it's live yet, and it's been pushed back repeatedly. But there's pending, as I understand it, a crude oil yuan-denominated crude oil contract that's going to begin trading on the Shanghai Futures Exchange. Right? That probably fits in here too.
Oh, it does. Pardon me. That's on the financial side. And If it comes to pass, it's supposed to happen sometime in July, but these things get delayed not just from threats from Washington,
right?
You know, terrorist threats.
But again, you can see where that's a piece of this puzzle. I mean, that's a piece where that yes. fits in here as well.
Yes, it does, because it means Shanghai will have both an oil and gold futures contract denominated in RMB.
And how many times have we talked about this foundation that's being laid ever since the 2008 crisis, that these steps have been made methodically over time to have an alternative so that the Chinese aren't just simply subject to the whims of the West and of the U.S. to offer an alternative next time, you know, or whenever is needed. But anyway, that, as you can see, this is kind of a part of that too. But I didn't mean to sidetrack you, but you can just see where that yuan-denominated oil contract fits into this picture as well.
Yeah, two major points to make in connection with that. Because, you know, we covered all the, you know, the land masses and the pipelines and all those ramifications. We covered a good bit of that. Okay, not only Shanghai, but now there's a Hong Kong gold futures contract.
Right.
And it's denominated both in the dollar and the RMB. So my analogy is the Chinese now have a two-legged Chinaman, one leg in Shanghai, one leg in Hong Kong, both under control by the Chinese, and both intended to disrupt the U.S. and London corrupt COMEX gold pricing. It's so offensive what Hong Kong has done. They've arranged for multiple hours to coincide and overlap with the New York gold fix. Okay, so we've got some potential. You know, we could talk about arbitrage until you go blue in the face. I think it's going to be a little bit different. I think it's going to be not so much arbitrage, but a competing gold price. And I don't care about arbitrage. Arbitrage is a consequence and an opportunity if it can be executed.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it's a little hairy to execute.
Right.
But if we start seeing the Shanghai and Hong Kong gold price diverge from the London, New York gold price, where they're actually delivering in gold, which gold price do you think is going to dominate in the global market?
Right.
Okay. Here's the second major point. You got all this oil and gold contracting in Shanghai and Hong Kong, and I think it's going to be a major force behind the One Belt, One Road set of projects, you know, a cornucopia of projects that will be centered in Eurasia. And Eurasia is not just, you know, Pacific Rim and Southeast Asia and China. It includes the former Soviet republics, includes Russia, and it's including Iran, Pakistan, India. They're all going to be involved, and it's going to creep into Europe by way of Hungary, which just set up, with cooperation with China, a financial futures market that includes gold. I mean, Hungary is the rebel in Eastern Europe. I love this Viktor Orban. He has got big stones below his belt. The One Belt, One Road is going to feature multi-billion, like hundreds of billions in contracts. And you watch the Chinese interbank payment system that competes with SWIFT. You watch how that dominates in the transactions and how other financial functions start integrating with oil and gold in Shanghai and Hong Kong with their futures contract, futures market. Going to be very, very interesting.
Well, Jim, I think we've laid out for everybody the connection here, what this Qatar, what this conflict that kind of moved to the surface of all the headlines just a couple of weeks ago. And I think most people now understand, oh, now I see what this is really about. Let's as we wrap up, though, I want to finish, though, with the potential geopolitical stuff, even in the short term. You know, whether that's real or not, whether a conflict is possible. But we are talking about some pretty deep-seated things here, you know, between the Saudis and the Iranians and Qatar now kind of being in the middle. And then, as we mentioned, the gigantic U.S. bases and CENTCOM being located there in Qatar. Do you see the potential for a military conflict, a conflagration, that type of thing? Or do you think these changes are all going to be more on the economic side?
I think what's coming is the United States is going to throw up a white flag without saying the white flag. They're going to say, we're going to let this cartel in natural gas proceed. We can't stop it.
Right.
We're not going to go to a war with Iran, because if we do, the United States would lose the war, since Russia would come to the aid of Iran. The United States does not want to go up against Russia. They doubly do not want to go up against Russia and Iran together.
Right.
They're already confronting Iran in Yemen, and it's not going well for the United States, because everything we touch in foreign policy turns to shit. And Yemen is turning to shit. Yemen is very important. Quick aside. On the eastern side of the Gulf of Aden is Aden and Yemen. Aden's a city, Yemen's a country. On the western side is Djibouti, where China has set up a port. It's part of Africa. Go 200 or 300 miles north and you enter the Suez Canal. That is why Yemen's important. This is going to get very hairy, but I think the United States is going to quit the military defense of the dollar. Because we're overextended. We're not outgunned. We're out-technologied.
Is it just because we don't have any choice at some point? Some rational mind goes, look, we're just done. I mean, it's hard to believe that after all of the U.S. has done to fight and hold off everybody for the last 50 years and maintain the dollar reserve currency status and the petrodollar recycling scheme, that they're finally just going to just kind of quietly shrink away from that. But that's kind of what you're saying.
Yes, it is. Notice how Russia did really, really did not enter in a big way the Ukraine war.
Right. They could have, but they didn't. You're right.
They didn't. And now Germany and France are disinviting the United States for the Minsk agreements,
right,
toward Ukraine settlement. Notice that Russia did enter the Syrian war. So Russia is going to make sure that the Iran pipeline is completed.
Mm-hmm.
It will be done on their watch. The United States is going to conclude we cannot stop the Iran-Russian gas connection. And if Qatar joins it, we cannot stop that either. So we're going to do the white flag thing and keep our giant military base in somewhat of a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
What it's leading to, Craig, is a major point that The Voice and I came up with as a result of talking with my old connection with the U.S. military folks. And that is a concept of a dual universe. We're going to see the United States and Western Europe, you know, Canada and England, etc., continue with the dollar. That universe will be pretty much the Western Hemisphere standard of the dollar. On the other side, you're going to see the RMB and ruble, predominantly the RMB, because they're the giant, you know, industrial power. Russia's not a giant industrial power. They have industry, but they're a giant energy power.
Natural
Combine
resource.
The energy power with the industrial power, Russia and China are formidable. The United States cannot oppose that. So there's going to be an RMB universe. And I'm thinking that its physical structure, foundation, will be the Qatar-Iran-Russian net gas pipeline. Okay? And, you know, just independent aside, the Russians and Japanese are building a pipeline for LNG supply. Japan is entering the Eurasian trade zone slowly, but you know, that aside, we're going to have this dual universe. The United States is going to throw up its white flag and say, we will have coexistence. That's what I expect. The Russian and Chinese will have the predominantly RMB standard for trade, standard for banking. Okay, when you talk about the global currency reserve of the dollar, it has two sides. Trade payment in dollars, like for oil or, you know, grain shipment, cement shipment, international consulting contract, dollar-based. Okay, that has prevailed for a long, long time, the trade side. The other side is banking. What do they have as their core reserves in banking in, say, South Korea? It's treasury bonds, the U.S. government debt. That is going away. The RMB universe is going to shed their treasury dollars, and they're going to replace them with RMB and gold.
Yep.
And here is the death blow that comes after this dual universe becomes a little bit more settled. It's not settled yet. It's developing. It's in a quickening phase. It's in a settling phase, like cement setting up. The RMB universe is going to introduce the gold trade note. I think it's going to be intermingled with the RMB currency. And it might be intermingled with blockchain currency. And when this happens, you're going to get a marriage of sorts with the RMB and gold. I did not say a gold-backed RMB. I said an intermingling marriage of sorts between the RMB and gold. When that happens, start the countdown for the death of the dollar and the introduction of a domestic new scheiß dollar, where the international dollar is no longer going to be, this is like a couple of years off, whatever. The international dollar, you know, dollars held outside the United States border, are no longer going to be under control of the U.S. government. That means FATCA laws will go away. It means a group like the IMF, led by China, might take control of international dollar. At the same time, the United States will have to launch a domestic dollar if it intends to import anything into its ports and economy. That's going to be the big pressure point for the U.S. leaders and the U.S. economy captains. How do we keep the input supply flow, the supply chain to the U.S. economy if this dollar is disintegrating internationally? It's going to be a domestic-only dollar, and that's when the devaluations start, because we've got a near $600 billion annual trade deficit, which translates to 13,000 tons a year.
There you go.
Just put it in perspective, okay?
Yep.
But if we increase tenfold the price of gold, and we're dealing with a $12,000 price, it doesn't mean 13,000 tons, it means 1,300 tons. That's more manageable.
Yes.
That's where we're going.
Well, I think everybody that's been listening to this can see how all these pieces fit together and now have a better understanding of how this Qatari piece and the current headlines coming out of that region, how they're not just benign little one-offs that are occurring. This is all interconnected. This is what this is all about. I know that that's what you write about. I know that's this is a situation you've been on top of now for years. And I just, why don't you take a second, Jim, for people that, you know, this has piqued their interest, that they make them think, you know what, I really need to know more about this. I know you're writing about this all the time, Tricked Letter. Tell everyone again where they can find the Hat Trick Letter and how they sign up.
Before I do that, quick little half a minute. The United Arab Emirates is broke. They squandered a good deal of their money in the Yemen war and a good deal of their money financing ISIS. They're broke. Saudi Arabia is broke. They're doing government bond issuances now for the first time in their history because they're broke and they're lying about their oil reserves. Okay, UAE and Saudi are broke. Okay, this is part of the dead foundation of the petrodollar. Very dangerous situation. Okay, started in April of 2004, the hat trick letter found on www.goldenjackass.com. We're now in the 13th year. It's just nothing but shits and giggles. It's a lot of fun. It's a labor of love. I get drained at times. I got a new challenge now to learn about. I must learn more about the cryptocurrencies and blockchain. I'm going to. I've determined that I even set up a special folder with really rich articles that I must get to. I need to get a little bit stronger and healthy in order to begin this in earnest. But it is an objective, and it's part of a project that the whole Jackass team is committed to. And it's going to be interesting. I have a computer science background, so encryption is not new to me. So there are two important publications per month. One is called the Global Money War Report, high-level issues, defense of the dollar, whatever. The second one is for ground level. It's the Gold and Currency Report. Each one is between 30 and 40-something pages per month. It's a lot of work. They're outlined with chapter headings, so subscribers can read the chapters that interest them and at a later date maybe get to the other chapters that weren't so essential to their mindset and to their priorities. The price has been kept the same since 2008. And, you know, I really enjoy this, Craig. I invite people to go to the website and they can pick up on linked interviews like this. I tend not to have many repeat interviews if they don't provide a link so the followers can catch it. I keep it current. I even put upcoming interviews. I have a public article about once a month. I'm thinking about doing a public article, just a rough outline on some of the points that we made today, because the notes are so fresh, about the Iran, Qatar, Russian gas cartel and its challenge to the U.S. dollar. I think it's very interesting, and I'll be discussing it as a major theme for the next few months. I also have a major theme that I've been covering for the last 2 years, the development of the Eurasian trade zone and the non-dollar platforms and the non-dollar transactions like the CIPS that compete with SWIFT. We've overused SWIFT as a financial weapon, so we've encouraged the development of a competitor that is going to overshadow SWIFT. SWIFT will be used primarily in Western Europe and the United States. So North America, Western Europe. Okay, this is what we do. We have blowback from our abuse of power. The blowback results in weakening dollar. It's going to result in an isolation. It's one of my big forecasts for the last few years. The United States is going to be isolated, going to be quarantined, and to be forced to have its own domestic currency, which causes an unbelievable U.S. domestic crisis of price inflation, supply shortage, and social disorder.
Yep.
Unavoidable.
Yep.
It's going to be like, but not as bad, as Venezuela.
And again, this is all part of why a subscription to the Hat Trick Letter, which can be found at goldenjackass.com, is so important. And it's all part of why it's so important for us to speak with you whenever we get a chance on these holiday weekends. So, Jim, I want to thank you again for donating some of your time to TFMR to help spread this word, to help people have a better understanding of what belies all of these international and geopolitical events. And I look forward to speaking with you again, probably here toward the end of the summer, and we'll see how things have changed, again, by the time we get another chance to speak.
I think what we're going to do is see continuation of these themes, continuation of the weakening of the dollar's foundation and structure, and creating like a huge low-pressure zone going into September and October.
That'll probably be the next time we talk. Until then, my friend, again, thank you for your time and for all that you do. And I hope you have a nice holiday weekend.
Well, we don't have holiday weekend here. It's just a regular weekend, but I'm doing a move. So I'm spending this weekend moving furniture, and my cable and internet comes in tomorrow.
Okay.
And I got to just tell you one little funny thing. I decided to spend an extra, about $16 a month for cable internet. It's ridiculously cheap here. It's like cable internet, I'm paying right now $55 a month. Try that in the United States. Right. Well, I'm going to move that up to about $70 a month, because most of my channels now are going to have a selection of English or Spanish. Click here or there. So I'm going to do my little Spanish lessons with certain movies back to English. I like English.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, all right, Jim, thank you so much. Again, enjoy at least a market holiday next week, and we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Okay, pleasure being on, as always. You're a lot of fun. You're probably my favorite host, and I expect that to continue. Let's see if we can survive this shitstorm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to get a lot worse, and my big fear is that the Italian and Spanish banks are going to cause a contagion that reaches London and New York.
Yeah, that'll probably be on our minds by the next time we talk, too. All right, my friend, thanks again, and thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again all very soon.